The New Testament reading today comes from the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through chapter 4, verses 5. Hear the words of the Lord. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that the person of God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with a sound teaching, but having their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, be sober in everything, endure suffering, do the work of the evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The New Testament gospel lesson today is Luke chapter 18. Now, this is what happened. It was completely 100% my fault, just let me tell you. It says in there, verses 1 to 18, and I think what you're probably thinking, heavenly days, didn't we just have this really long scripture and now we have another long scripture. So when I was in the office this week, I thought 1 to 18, I didn't quite remember that because it really is 1 to 8. So I accidentally, it was 100% my fault, I accidentally put 18 when I sent that to Sandy. She said, I thought that was pretty long to preach from. Good news though, because as we're looking through and you think, but there's some really good stuff following. Next Sunday, we go on to the next section, starting with verse 9. So we're still going to get to a lot of it. This is the Lord's word from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Hear the words of the Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly come grant justice to them, and yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm going to put this bulletin away for a minute, but I just wanted to point out, because it really doesn't have a place in the sermon, but it makes me laugh. In verse 5, where it says, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, the actual translation of that verse is this: that woman is giving me a black eye. See, didn't you need to know that today? I just needed to know that sometimes there are just times when we say, that person is giving me a black eye. Well, so this is the scripture that we have for today. And within it, we see an incredible promise. We see the promise of God in the mix of this lesson. This woman is pounding on the door of a politician. Now, granted, it tells us that this guy may be a little rotten, but he could care less about her. However, he is going to give her what she asks for, if for nothing else, for his own peace. There's something about that that I really like, because I think I've been too stubborn too many times to say, I'm not giving up for anything. I'm going to hold my ground. According to my mother, I come by my stubbornness very naturally, because according to her, my dad was the most stubborn person on the earth. And so I get that stubbornness, that piece of me that wants to say, I just want to be right. I don't care. I just want to be right. But this judge, even though it says that he wasn't all that trustworthy, lovable, likable, he says, I'm going to give her what she wants because I want my own peace. There's a piece where we need to say, you know what, I don't care whether I'm right or whether that person is right. We just need to move on. We just need to move on. I had a very good friend who taught me to say, in the scheme of life, 20 years from now, 100 years, will it really matter if I give in on that one little piece that hurts my pride right now? I like to remember that, because that's what this judge, who we're told is not really such a great guy, for peace, I'm just going to give her what she wants. The audience knows that this woman has always had a raw deal. She has always been, women in the biblical world, especially ones who are not married, they really were at the bottom of everything. They were at the bottom of everything. That's the way that society was raised to believe and was raised to do. So she really has a raw deal. We also know that the judge, who is always out for himself, does what she asks. Interesting, isn't it? Jesus says, and this is the piece, Jesus says, this is what prayer is like. This is what prayer is like. Interesting. This parable comes to us, and it's condensed, and there are lots of open meanings in the midst of it. But I think overall, God is trying to say to us, this is what prayer is like. If there is something on our heart that we can't let go, if there's something that is driving us on or driving us crazy or and we pray continually to God, God who created us, God who loves us more than anything, if this unjust politician, imagine, just imagine how much more God will take care of us. We need to know. But notice too, the widow, this woman, she was very relentless. She did not give up. She knew what she wanted. She knew what was best. She knew, and she hung on to that, and she kept driving for it. She was relentless, and she was active. In the Gospel of Luke, there are lots and lots of stories with widows. And that's pretty intentional, because in this world where Jesus grew up, widows were clearly at the bottom of the rung. They were the most forgotten. They were the most, you fend for yourself. You have to figure this out for yourself. We'll take care of almost everybody else, but not the widows. You're on your own. So Jesus was intentional to give this story and make the main character a widow, the least of the least, the last of the last. To put that in perspective, think about your world, or think about the world we live in. Who are the least, the last, and the lost? Who are the ones that we think, oh, I will do anything for anybody except fill in the blank? This scripture passage tells us clearly that the judge does not fear God and does not respect people. There's a reason that we have these two people, one who has lots of power but could care less about everybody else and anybody else and doesn't respect anyone else, and then this widow who is at the bottom, who is relentless and active. Sometimes, when we pray, sometimes we pray what I call just prayers. I get myself into that, and I've heard people do it. As they're praying, they'll say, God, just give us this, or just. And I had somebody say to me one time that they think that the reason that we do just prayers, is that it's almost like a petition to God. It's just this little thing. I just need this one little thing. And the good news is that I don't believe that God really hears the word just in there at all. Because God isn't listening to our words as much as God is reading our hearts and helping to understand. It's such good news for us. This story is good news, but it's just such good news. The life of faith is not about presenting God with a wish list. It's not about saying, you know, God, here, let me tell you how you should order my life and how you should order the people around me. We like to do that, don't we? I was a school teacher for a lot of years, and man, I got really good at telling those 30, 32 kids exactly what they need to do and what they don't need to do. I was really good at that. Most of my family was not surprised. Thank you. However, with a life of faith, we need to remember that a sign of our faith is our willingness to pray. Our willingness to pray. In fact, the Bible is pretty clear that we are to pray at all times, and only when necessary are we to use words. In other words, our lives need to be a life of prayer to God. Boy, that's painful for me sometimes, because somewhere in there is that reminder that this isn't about me. This is about doing what is best for the community, for the kingdom of God, for the people around me who are paying attention. And my prayer life needs to do the same. My prayer life needs to lift up joys and concerns and fears and doubts. It needs to remind me constantly, that God is always listening. That there is never a time when I can say a prayer that God didn't hear it. I love the traditions that I was taught when I was growing up, that we pray before every meal, that we pray before we go to bed, because my parents were teaching me about prayer. As I grew older, that's when I realized, well, those aren't the only times you could pray. Huh. In fact, What Jesus explains to us in all of Scripture is that our life of faith is about a life of continual prayer. It's continual communication with God, because God is always with us and is always listening. So, somewhere along the line, some of us have kind of gotten off track. Sometimes we think it's, I can't tell you how many meetings I've been in, and somebody will say, "Hey, Laura, you're a pastor, will you pray for us?" Because that's kind of what we do, isn't it? I adore going into meetings, and people who know I'm a minister will say, "Excuse me, we're going to start with a word of prayer," and they pray, because it's such a great faith statement. I don't have to have a degree. I don't have to have any education. God wants to hear my heart, not my pedigree. Prayer also teaches us persistence. It's just a reminder. I've been told from the time I was little, and I believe it's true, that God knows everything about us. God knows our actions. It's scriptural. God knows when we rise and when we go to bed. God knows everything about us. God knows our minds. So if God already knows, why is it that we have to say the words out loud? I think we say the words out loud because it reminds us that we're to never lose heart. I know things look bleak now. I know things look sad and depressing right now, but praying reminds us that there is hope. We don't lose heart because we know who our Creator is. We don't lose heart because we know that God is always with us. We don't lose heart because Jesus is present not only to me, not only to you, not only to this congregation, but to everyone. Even when we don't remember, we don't lose heart. We also pray because Scripture tells us that we are to pray always. We're to be in constant communion with God. Sometimes my prayer has to be, "Dear God, help me calm down until this train passes." Very appropriate for us right now, because if you notice, they're working on the crossings, and so when the trains are going through town now, they're going at the rate of a snail. And it's so easy for me to want to be irritated or angry with that, And yet, God says, "Oh, for heaven's sakes, Laura, if this is the worst that happens to you, your life is surely excellent." To pray continually means I'm in constant communion with God, and hopefully you feel the same way. It's not a new vision of God, but it changes our relationship. Think about the people in your life that you are in constant communion with, and that you are communicating with them daily. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your best friends. Maybe it's the people you work with. Just think about how much deeper and richer that experience is because of our communication. God knows that we were created to communicate. But I believe there's something just even a little bit more. It's communicating with God, yes, but it's also discovering a completely different relationship. It's a different relationship with God, but it's also a different relationship with the world. And I read this phrase as I was studying for this sermon. It's borrowing the eyes of God. Think about that. that in our prayer life, one of the things that it's doing is helping us borrow the eyes of God. It keeps our eyes wide open, open to possibilities, open to being fully invested in the people around us and being fully present, not only to those we love, not only to those that we go to church with, not only to those in our neighborhood, but especially to the injustice. And that's where the widow comes in. In the world of Jesus, the widows were the least, the last, and the lost. They were the people that were discarded. They were the people that were looked down upon. And yet, in this story, it was very important for Jesus to remind us that the widows, the people, whoever they are, whether they're widows or not, the people who are the least, the last, and the lost are our responsibility as well. I know I bring it up way too much. I know your eyes are rolling. I get that. It's one of the reasons I love to volunteer in the prison. Miami Correctional is a maximum security prison. These people, most of them will never get out of prison. And some of them are in their 20s, and they're there for life. The least, the last, and the lost. And I get it. They did it. They made choices that weren't good. But man, oh man, I make bad choices every single day. And who knows? If my upbringing had been different, who knows if my choices might have been more in line with theirs? So, not everybody wants to go to the prison in all kinds of ways, right? We don't want to be in prison. We don't want to. And I understand it's not for everybody, but it's what God has put on my heart. So what is God putting on your heart? Who are the least, the last, and the lost that you come in contact with? Maybe God is saying to you, remember the story about the widow? Remember how Jesus heard? Remember how Jesus helped? Let us be fully present. Let us be fully present. I really think that this is what God is asking us to do in this story, in this parable. No matter what our station in life, we come across people who are the least, the last, and the lost. And sometimes I completely ignore what's right in front of me. I'm not paying attention. I'm too much into myself. And I forget what God asked me to do until I get home. Or until the next day when I'm at that same spot, but that person is gone. I think what God says to us then is, maybe you need to take care of your prayer life a little bit better. Because our prayer lives open the eyes of our hearts and our souls. One of my parents' favorite movies was Fiddler on the Roof. I probably watched it 10 million times, and that is not an exaggeration. 10 million, I'm sure. One of my favorite parts of Fiddler is when Tevye is talking to God. Did you ever pay attention? Tevye would be in the barn taking care of his farm animals, and he is in constant communication with God. Tevye is having an issue with one of his children, and he is in constant communication with God. But God, that goes against everything I believe. And he talks it out. Maybe what Luke 18, verses 1 through 8 is telling us is that that's what prayer is like. It's being in constant communication with God. The old hymn says, taking everything to God in prayer. this week, as you go through your life, as you go through the situations, I believe that God is telling us, don't lose heart and pray always. Be in constant communication with God. And maybe, just maybe, we will help our faith and maybe the faith of someone else. May we all work for a more just and humane world. May we all be God's prayer warriors. And may we all become thankful. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.